The Fantasy 40s, Part 11, TV Part 3, Howdy Doody. Now, I watched Howdy Doody as a kid, and I was on the show one time in the Peanut Gallery. It premiered on December the 27th, 1947. Gentleman in charge, Buffalo Bob. Say, kids, what time is it? The Peanut Gallery. It's Howdy Doody time. And then the theme song, which was to the tune of Tara Boumdie. It's Howdy Doody time. It's Howdy Doody time. Bob Smith and Howdy too. Say Howdy Do to you. Let's give a rousing cheer for Howdy Doody's here. It's time to start the show. So kids, let's go. One of the longest running and best remembered children's shows, Howdy Doody, on the air from 1947 and did not vacate its NBC habitat until 13 years later, on September the 24th, 1960. It introduced millions of youngsters to the delights of cowboy marionette Howdy, horn-honking silent Clarabelle the Clown, who was Bob Keeshan, who left the show in 1953 to become Captain Kangaroo, Flubberdub, also Flubbadub, part dog, part duck, Chief Thunderthud, Tim Trimble, which is Don Knotts, A Woman for All Seasons, Princess Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring, and everyone's comic nemesis, Phineas T. Bluster, an ill-tempered curmudgeon who objected to people having fun. Set in the colorful town of Dutyville, the series revolved around the annex of a circus troupe led by Buffalo Bob Smith, who dressed in a pioneer outfit and resembled the legendary Buffalo Bill. Smith voiced the freckle-faced, the puppet had exactly 72 freckles, puff-cheeked, wide-grinning Howdy. Keeshan later explained the reason his Clarabelle never talked, quote, I think that NBC had no faith in my acting ability, which was probably well-founded. I was 20 years old and had none, end of quote. He had been chosen for the role from among NBC's studio pages. The show's atmosphere of circus, madhouse, and puppet theater drew children irresistibly to the screen and held them rapt for an hour. Variety gave the program a glowing review, not for the antic of its stars, but for the babysitting potential of the television's first kiddie fair. Quote, in the middle-class home, there is perhaps nothing as welcoming to the mother as something that will keep the small fry intently absorbed and out of possible mischief. This program can almost guarantee to pin down the squirmiest of the brood, end of quote. It kept children still except for their eyelids. The boy puppet continually blinked and thousands of young viewers picked up the habit. This prompted a deluge of letters from concerned parents and trips to the doctors to see if the practice was harmful. The show launched the half a dozen fads, and its opening phrase, it's Howdy Doody time, became a national youth slogan. Howdy's favorite expression, thingamajigs, a 1700s British catcall, entered everyday vocabulary of inarticulate expression. Demand for tickets for the live telecast from children whose fondest dream was to sit in the peanut gallery, the bleachers, overwhelmed the NBC staff. The waiting list was so long that a child could have outgrown the show by the time his or her name was selected. Life magazine featured a Howdy look-alike contest, which drew thousands of photographs of boys and girls. A boy from Patoche, Long Island, won. When Howdy appeared at Boston's Jordan Marsh department store, 20,000 kids stood in line. All of this excitement for a program in which a typical episode included a silent film short, a song or two, a madcap story involving the comic characters of Dutyville. Broadcaster Robert Schmidt became Buffalo Bob Smith for the simplest of reasons, that his radio show, Triple B Ranch, originated from Buffalo, New York, his hometown. His comic sidekick was then an imaginary boy named Elmer, who voiced Smith. Quote, say kids, if you want to meet my ranch hand Elmer, end of quote, Bob would announce and Elmer would greet radio listeners with, quote, well, howdy doody, end of quote. The kids loved Dopey Elmer's dumb delivery of the salutation. So as Robert Schmidt had changed his own name, he rechristened Elmer to Howdy Doody. As yet there was no puppet, just a radio voice. NBC was attempting to put together an hour-long children's show. Buffalo Bob was hired and veteran puppeteer Frank Paris oversaw the construction of a wooden Howdy, which was supposed to resemble Smith's old Elmer voice. Instead, the doll turned out to look more like a dopey, blonde-haired, long Pinocchio than the latter wide-eyed, red-headed, snub-nosed Howdy. In the meantime, Buffalo Bob had softened Elmer's heavy yokel dialect. A revamped puppet could not be ready in time for the December 27th telecast, so for the first show there was only the promise of Howdy Doody. A voice in a drawer said to Buffalo Bob, "Gosh, I'm in here, but I'm too darn bashful to come out." Bob coaxed, "Come on, Howdy boy, the kids want to see you." The drawer wouldn't budge, and the voice again said, "Oh gee, I'm just too bashful." The show went on without Howdy, but dozens of kids in the peanut gallery and thousands more at home were dying to glimpse the reticent puppet. For the second telecast, a week later, still no Howdy. Anticipation now turned into near hysteria. Then one show opened with Buffalo Bob standing beside the recalcitrant drawer, which now had suspiciously looking strings attached, protruding outward and upward. Bob knocked and Howdy Doody debuted. The kids across the country screamed, their eyes riveted to the puppet. He wore a vest, a bandana, cowboy chaps, elbow-length work gloves. By any standard, he was neither handsome nor cute, but big-eared, thick-lipped, and awkward. The kids loved him. Macy's department store approached Frank Paris about manufacturing the doll. They received hundreds of requests a week. In a legal dispute with NBC over who owned the rights to the puppet, Paris stormed out of the studio. "I literally took my puppet and went home," he later wrote. A former Walt Disney artist, Velma Dawson, was commissioned to construct a different-looking Howdy. In the interim, a bandaged-faced puppet appeared on the show, with Buffalo Bob explaining that Howdy was undergoing a facelift to become the handsomest man in the world. On the West Coast, Dawson produced a freckled boy dressed in flannel shirt, blue jeans, a kerchief, and a cowboy hat. His mouth moved, his eyes rolled, his eyelids flickered, and he was endearingly cute. On June the 7th, 1948, NBC issued a press release, "Howdy Doody, wearing new look after facelifting on the coast, rejoins Bob Smith on the television show tomorrow." On June the 8th, the bandaged dummy was retired and the new puppet in bandages was unwrapped with breathless expectancy. Across the nation with children and TV critics, the new Howdy garnered glowing reviews. He was cute, and better yet, available for licensing. Howdy Doody wakened advertising to the children's marketplace with a clarion call. It began in the spring of 1948 when the show was less than half a year old. As an election year gimmick, Buffalo Bob announced on the air a free giveaway of Howdy Doody for President buttons. The show expected to receive requests for about 5,000. The next day, the New York Broadcasting Station received 6,000 letters. NBC's Philadelphia affiliate got 8,000, Baltimore 6,000, Washington 3,000. The landslide mushroomed to 60,000, then 100,000, which approached the total number of TV sets in the country. The show's producers panicked. Where would they get the money for all those buttons? One NBC executive realized that the money for buttons was peanuts compared to the advertising dollars to be had by telling potential sponsors of the mail inundation. Within a week, NBC's issuance of a press release, makers of Colgate toothpaste, Wonder Bread, Ovaltine, and M&M's had become commercial sponsors for the show. Within a month, advertising slots were sold out for a year in advance, with potential new sponsors fighting to get on the waiting list. Madison Avenue learned the selling power of television before the medium was even out of its infancy. A guest appearance by a little green clay figure called Gumby was enough to launch a Gumby doll craze and get the character its own series and an animated film. A company was formed to merchandise Howdy Doody tie-ins, since it appeared from one estimate that a third of the nation's children were grouping around neighborhood TV sets to watch the puppet. The result was a deluge of licenses for dolls, records, toys, sleeping bags, wallpaper, wristwatches, that carried the impish likeness of the blue-eyed, six-year-old Wonder Boy. Toy manufacturers like Ideal and Mark's literally begged for more commercial slots, as did cereal giants Kellogg's and General Foods, and the confection king Mars. Howdy Doody did more than kick off children's television. The show's button mania made the medium a viable marketplace in the eyes of the business community, which previously only had ears for radio. In its 13-year run, Howdy Doody played 2,343 television performances. The show permanently signed off in 1960 with its daily farewell song to kitty viewers, quote, "So long, small fry, it's time to say goodbye," end of quote. Now next time we'll look at some of the other TV fare for children, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, and of course Hopalong Cassidy. Now the source for this is Pinotti's Parade of Fads, Follies, and Manias, The Origins of Our Most Cherished Obsessions by Charles Pinotti. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.